Eisner seemed surprised by Schwartz's notes and later contended that he was surprised, which, if true, was an inexcusable lapse on the part of his lawyers, who should have reviewed them with Eisner before he took the stand. The thankless task of extricating Eisner from this evidentiary mess fell to Disney lawyer Lou Messinger. "What were the circumstances, Mr. Eisner, which caused you to tell Mr. Schwartz in substance that you didn't care what he thinks? I am not going to pay him any of the money. I was particularly annoyed with a practice that he had of negotiating with the press. You know, talking about company business to the press, bringing up the whole financial arrangement in the media," Eisner explained. "I get that very day a misdirected fax that was sent from Jeffrey Katzenberg to Burt Fields, thanking him for all the help of talking to the media on the New Yorker story, which inadvertently went to me, which annoyed me. With respect to Katzenberg's bonus, I now was saying to Tony Schwartz, screw that. If he's going to play this game, this media game, this deceptive game, this disingenuous game, and do the kinds of things I was angry about him for doing anyway, not keeping his word, being rude, things like that, I simply was not going to pay him the money. And I was aggravated, and I'm sure this was just one of the dark sides of an otherwise effective executive. There is occasion when somebody does something that goes toward the dark side that makes you so aggravated that you get annoyed." Oddly, given Ovitz's deal to settle the case with Katzenberg for $90 million, Eisner also testified that he never received any settlement offers. "We never got a figure, period. And the figure that was kind of out there in the ether was so much higher, catastrophically higher, that we never had a definitive conversation that I know of." The press, of course, had a field day with remarks like, "the little midget," and "the tip of my pom-pom." Catherine Harris, the former Los Angeles Times reporter now working for Bloomberg News Service, summed up, "Michael Eisner is a charming, intelligent, and facile executive who shouldn't be allowed near a witness stand. Far worse was the ebbing of Eisner's credibility, that most precious commodity in a witness, and certainly in a chief executive who has fused his likeness to a company. With Wells dead, there will always be an element of mystery about the Katzenberg bonus, exactly what Wells told Katzenberg and Eisner, and what he meant in drafting the contract language. Even so, Breckinridge ruled swiftly in favor of Katzenberg, finding that the evidence made the conclusion inescapable that Disney had in fact breached his contract and thus owed him interest. The precise amount would be the subject of further proceedings. Geffen called gold after the verdict. "I told you so," he said, though his intention wasn't to gloat. The next day, Gold visited Geffen at his newly restored palatial estate in Beverly Hills, formerly owned by Jack Warner. As Geffen had warned, the cost of settlement had now gone up to $200 million. On Saturday, the negotiations continued at the Four Seasons Hotel. Katzenberg's lawyers and an expert witness gave Gold a presentation on the value of Katzenberg's bonus and the interest calculation. After conferring with Eisner and Litvak, Gold called Geffen to say he'd failed to persuade them. Geffen reminded Gold that the longer Disney delayed, the higher the ultimate cost would be. The second phase of the proceedings began on May 20.